Last week we brought a word and the sermon was entitled Heaven Invades, When Heaven Invades. And this week I want to, as God will help me, to complete the second part. Reminder that this is Pentecost Sunday. If ever heaven invaded earth, it was on Pentecost Sunday. It was on Pentecost Day. But firstly, I'd like you to turn in the Old Testament to a reading taken from Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Now, 19 comes before 20. And I say that because you're familiar with 20. It is the giving of the Ten Commandments when Moses descended with the one tablet, not two, one tablet, commandments written on them, God's own handwriting. But here we are in chapter 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all of the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You should set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up the mountain, or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. They were to keep themselves without any sexual relations for these days. They were to be pure. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all of the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. It's the word of the Lord. May God give us his understanding of that word and his precious word even this morning. So let's just sum up what has been happening. The Israelites, led by Moses, had escaped from Egypt. They had escaped, they had been released from their slavery, from their bondage. They crossed the Red Sea. How did they cross the Red Sea? By the hand of God. By the hand of God, they crossed the Red Sea. And now they have arrived at Mount Sinai. Incidentally, we are told in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12 that the Israelites would come and worship the Lord at Mount Sinai. So they're now at Mount Sinai. And as we know, that the day that they are now at Mount Sinai, and we have just read of these dramatic happenings, would be the day or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, or the Day of the First Fruits, or as we know, Pentecost. 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 And here at Mount Sinai, God, Almighty, awesome God, would reveal in himself in a way that he'd never done before. He's going to reveal himself in a way. He was going to give the law, of course, that, if you like, that bundle of commandments and rules that would guide his people to know him better. And the Lord first reveals to Moses, the man of God. He reveals himself to Moses, the man of God. And this appearance was going to be noticed, wasn't it? We've just read how this was going to be noticed. What must it have been? I mean, we've just read that if anyone goes and touches the mountain, and they would be dead. What fear, terror, awe must have been this awesome, almighty God, the Creator, who had spoken through Moses? What must it have been like to anticipate such a close encounter with the living God? Let's look again at verses 16 to 19. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. This trumpet did not come from the camp of Israel. It came from heaven. It came from heaven. It was God blasting the trumpet, the ram's horn. And it got louder and louder. So all the people who were in the camp trembled, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. How awesome! Can you get your little mind around that? I don't think we can. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Not only were the people trembling, the mountain quaked greatly. This is awesome. And when the blast of the trumpet sounding long and became louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. The sights, the sounds. There was a powerful storm, a dense cloud. There was a blast from the trumpet, from the ram's horn. The whole mountain was covered with smoke, like from a furnace. This is incredible, friends. Why was it? Because the Lord was in the midst of the fire. This is tremendous. The Lord is in the midst of the fire. This hasn't been seen. The mountain shook violently. The sound grew louder of the trumpet. And finally, the Lord's voice was heard from the midst. The glorious presence of the Lord. It appeared on Mount Sinai in full blast. In full blast. Revealing to the people the Lord's power, His purity. And of course the smoke and the fire would have reminded the Israelites of God's great glory. They knew something about His glory. Well, this is Mount Sinai. Let's race ahead about 1400 years. Let's move on from the happenings at Mount Sinai. Because God has not appeared on earth just in a cloud. He's come as a man. He's come as Jesus, God's Son. He's come in the flesh. He's lived as a teacher, as a preacher, as a healer, as a confronter. He's released people from their fears, their sins, their sicknesses, their demons. He's confronted the religious hypocrites. And now, because He's the Son of God, claims to be the Son of God, He is the miracle worker, the religious people get envious, jealous. We must do away with Him. So He died. Jesus died according to the plan of God. God's plan had not been thwarted. It was all part of it. Why? So that we could live with Him now and forever. Hallelujah! He has risen from the dead. To give us hope. We've been singing some fantastic songs. I can't understand it, friends. I just want to... Why we can't just dance around? Friends, I think one of my prayers may be one Sunday morning, Lord, give them ants in their pants so they can't sit down. So you have to get moved. You have to get excited. Because if you can't get excited about what Jesus has done for you, and if His life is not bursting out of you, what can you get excited about? And of course He promised before He went that He would not leave us alone. He said, as we said last week, I'm going to give you one like Me, another comforter. And who won't leave you will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit who lives with Christians lives in them too. Jesus ascended on high. And the day of Pentecost has come. The believers were praying together in the upper room, just where they'd met, and Jesus had given that long discourse which we read about in the John's Gospel, and where they celebrated the Passover, the communion, where the sacrament of the Lord, of the Last Supper was enacted. Now, the believers were praying together. And let us turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts Chapter 2. Before anyone says it comes after 1, don't. But it's page 966 if you have a church Bible. And the first 4 verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. So once again, we have the presence of God showing up. A demonstration of God's awesome, awesome presence. And it almost with the same effects, isn't it, as what we read about from Exodus 19. Jewish tradition always associated storms, fire, and voice with the presence of God. And here they are. A mighty wind, like a storm. Fire that looked like tongues resting upon each person there. And other languages, speaking God's word to different people's groups. I'm suggesting, friends, that Pentecost was an updated Mount Sinai. But more than that, it is upgraded too. It is upgraded too. How? Well, you see, we have seen that the fire on Mount Sinai was only for Moses. Everyone else was standing at a distance. Only Moses got the fire of God in his life. Only Moses then got God's power, the anointing coming upon him. Only Moses understood God's presence. But not anymore. Not anymore. Not since Pentecost. Not since Acts 2. God's power. God's purity. God's presence are for all believers. Not just for the special ones. Not just for those who might have a special task to accomplish. God's Spirit came upon individuals within the Old Testament. Sometimes to anoint them to do a task, like building the tabernacle or driving the heathens out of the land. But then the Spirit left. But here we have the Holy Spirit being poured out on all people. And of course, as we read through the Old Testament, when the Spirit came, often it didn't change people. It didn't change them the inside out. Good people remained, as it were, good. Bad people remained bad. But it's different now. It should be different. Hallelujah. Because now, not only does the Holy Spirit come upon, he rests. He remains. He remains. 1 Peter and chapter 4, 14 says about persecution and about mockery. If you're going to stand for Jesus, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be reproached, you're going to have the mickey taken out of you, and it might even get worse. Do you know, I just read this week, some of you will have read it, I'm sure. I think I've got it with me. But this is America, but often what happens, we follow and so on, the trouble. But my bag's not here. There's this couple who've been having church in their home. I forget, has anybody read this? Help me out. They're in this particular state, in this particular region of the state, and it came to the notice of the authorities that they were holding fellowship, Bible fellowship, in their home. These people have been hauled before the judge, the attorney, and whatnot. They were asked, are you reading the Bible? Are you having communion with each other? And they said yes. They were having sort of church in their home, and they were forbidden to do it. They've been told they cannot do it. This tribe got the papers. They've got the papers. Is this China we're talking about? No, it's America. Friends, things are going to get tough. Those of you and me who claim Jesus is the only way to God, outside Jesus there's hell, damnation, we're going to be marginalized more and more. But don't fear. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be alarmed. These things will happen. But may we be emboldened. This is what Pentecost is all about. He's come to enable us to be strong and to be a witness to others. Don't shrink. Don't be alarmed. Peter says, if you are reproached, mocked, persecuted, hauled before the authorities for the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. Didn't Jesus say that in his message, what we call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount? You're blessed when men revile you. You're blessed when they curse. I don't always feel blessed, I must admit. But this is true. This is where faith comes in. We pray for them. But thank God that He's chosen us to suffer as a Christian. Because glory does await. And hey, through our testimony, through this testimony of this couple, it's on the internet, many will come to Jesus. A new stirring of the Lord will take place. A new obedience. It's costly to be a Christian. Authentic New Testament Christianity is coming to this country, friends. The remnant church is going to rise up. Hallelujah. Don't fear. Have I read all of that verse? You are blessed. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Rest on you. You're blessed. You're blessed. The Spirit of God coming upon us. Yes, we need for special service, for special tasks. Like having the grace to go through persecution. But the Bible says things happen in our lives by the Spirit and with the Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us as well. What does Ephesians 2 verse 22 says? Let me tell you. In whom you too, T-O-O, not you too, in you too are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is incredible. Church, let's wake up. The Holy Spirit has taken a residence in our hearts as a believer, we as believers. And the Holy Spirit resides, abides in us, in our inner being. What's that passage, Vera, you often quote from John's Gospel about from the inner being will flow? Amen. This is it, friends. This is it. This is it. Hallelujah. So even as the power, the mighty rushing wind is for each of us, for you, for me, so also is the fire. So also is the fire. What is this fire? Well, it is the refining fire of God. That's for sure. It is the refining fire of God. It wants to cleanse us. It wants to make us like Him. It was prophesied about in the Old Testament. In Malachi, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, we read, but who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them with gold as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Ooh, the refining fire. It will burn away the excess stuff in our hearts. It will. If we allow him, that's what God wants to do. Get rid of the filth. Get rid of the impurity. Cleanse us. Clean us up. So that we can be more like Jesus. More useful for Jesus. John the Baptist describes Jesus' ministry with these words. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, friends, we know this, don't we? Let's remind ourselves. Jesus has a lot more to do with your life and mine than just forgiving us. As amazing and as incredible that is, he wants to cleanse us and change us too. Hallelujah. So, since Jesus has the desire to change us, and the Holy Spirit has the power to change us, then why are we like we are so often? If Jesus says, I want to change you. I want to change you. I want you to be like me. I want you. You're my ambassador down on this earth. I want you. Change. Glory to glory. And the Holy Spirit has the power to change us. Why are we so often like we are, like I am?
We resist him.
Not willing to cooperate. Not hungry. Not thirsting enough. Yeah. We perhaps like our comfort zone a bit too much. That's why we're stubborn at times. We have Christ within us if we're believers. He has his Holy Spirit power has been poured out. Christ, why can we be so rebellious? Well, we have our wicked heart is still not totally subdued. Oh, it rises up from time to time, doesn't it? Why we need to humble ourselves before God. Thank you, Lord, that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. But one of the hymns says, you know, why should I live at this poor dying rate? Don't know what else it says. But that's, you know, why? We've got Christ within us. Because he lives, I live too. God, come. Come this morning. Not just momentarily. Change our hearts. Change our lives, Lord. Why are we sometimes so selfish? So faithless? So lustful, so unforgiving, so much of a divided heart. Friends, this should not be. This should not be, should it? I'm talking to myself. I am. I'm talking to myself. Perhaps that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, don't get drunk with wine. That only leads to licentiousness, debauchery, riots. Leads to all sorts of sweet effects of wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. May the 31st, 2009, brothers, sisters, whatever age we are, let us be filled, please, Lord, with your Holy Spirit again. Again. Please don't rely on an experience last year, last week, last century, or the century before. Don't. Seek God now. Seek God now. seek God now. If we're not living with power in our lives, humble ourselves before God now. If we're not living with victory over sin, big or little, seek God now in repentance. Seek for his filling. See, the good news is, whatever problem, whatever circumstance, whatever addiction you're willing to repent of, is fixable. It's fixable. Friends, we are not talking about willpower. Yes, we need to want to. We need willpower, but it's combined with the enabling power of God. I can do all things. What's your problem? What's mine? It's not impossible with God. The mountain can be moved. If you believe in God, have faith in God. This is Pentecost Sunday. We remember the Holy Spirit coming into the world and into our hearts. Let's not sit in our armchairs or relaxing recliners at home and get smug and complacent. While the passionate, burning fire of God wants to refine us, change us. Friends, I invite you with myself to come to the mountain of God. Come and have our rubbish burned away. Come and have the life that God intends for us, for you and for me. As I close, four evidences of a Spirit-filled individual and a Spirit-filled church. Because the church is made up of people, isn't it? So a Spirit-filled church means that the pastor, the elders, everybody are Spirit-filled. A church after Jesus' own heart. The body, all connected to the head, who has this awesome power, who has this awesome might, who wants to cleanse us, clean us up, revive us, and send us out into the world as his disciples. Four things. They all begin with P. There's many more, but four evidences, four marks of the believer and the church that knows the Holy Spirit, that knows what it is to be in the presence of Jesus. One is power. It's a church of power. An individual of power. It's a church of purity. It's a church of passion, evangelistic fervor, and is a church of peace. And if you've got all those four, you're going to have a fifth one, a church of praise, an individual of praise as well. That's the fifth P. Won't we? Of course we will. These four marks, these four evidences of the church or of the person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is what the Lord wants to do with you and for me. I'm not saying that, Jim, you're not a believer. Jim, haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I believe God is saying, Jim, I want so much more of you. To get rid of the flesh. You've got to die to yourself more so that my power, my life can live in you, Jim. A Spirit-filled person is a Spirit-filled person of power. They have power. They get things done for the Lord because they are energized and powered by the Holy Spirit. He gives them strength. He gives them courage for the tasks ahead. They know his presence. A Spirit-filled person, knowing the power of God, will know his presence, that dwelling in the presence. What does Ephesians chapter 3 say? According to his power that is at work within us. According to his... It's at work within you. You're not on your own. Have some battles. But his Spirit, if you're a child of God, and you've come hungry to the Lord, his Spirit is at work within us and is according to his power. We must need him, but it's according to him. Thank you, Sovereign Lord. Trust Jesus. Know his presence. Friends, you know the disciples were on the boat and the storm arose and they were quaking in their shoes. Jesus was asleep. They were terrified. Wake up, Master. Wake up, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. Fear gripped them. Jesus saw the solution. He had the solution. They just saw the problem, the issues. Brother, sister, do you know Jesus? Do you know his power to trust him absolutely? Do you? It's awesome. Jesus has defeated the power of the devil. Jesus, by his Spirit, is living in you. He's also a long-suffering God as well. I'm thankful for that. But this is a new... We haven't got long left, friends. We've not long left. Let's redeem the time. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't with good intentions. But we can as we yield to the Lord and say, I'm going all after you, Lord. So that your glory is seen. Your kingdom comes within. Your kingdom is among me. Among us. And the sinner will find Jesus or a soldier and insult you. Whatever. It's a reaction. See, Jesus, when he was on earth, got a reaction. Wherever he went, he got a reaction. Thirdly, a spirit-filled person is a person of purity. We've just been speaking about the fire of God. A Christian, a true believer, has a personal integrity that sets them apart from others. Must do. This. If Christ is in you, live as Christ lived. God will help us, you see. There is honesty in all that they do. Thought life. Oh, where do the battles... Where's my battles? Where's your battles? In the mind, in our impulses. Aren't they? But... how we can, with God's help, overcome. We don't have to succumb. Overcome the temptations that are all around us, as well as sometimes come to our mind. Why? Paul says to the Galatians, walk in the Spirit, so you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't say so you may not. We can, in Christ. Christ in us. We have a choice. Oh, may we surrender to the Lord and be empowered by God's Spirit. We do have battles in our mind. The enemy operates in the area of our thoughts, doesn't he? And our impulse. He does. That's where the battle is, friends. Let's be honest. You ain't in heaven yet. So this is what's going on with you from time to time. We need to stay in the Word of God. It's the power. It's the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? It is the sword. This, stay in the Word of God. Read the Word. Read it in faith. Lord, soak me in this. Let it permeate me through and through. Through and through. What does Peter say? His divine nature has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Okay? You've got Christ. It's the Holy Spirit living here. His divine nature. He's given everything you need. The faults are my part. If I'm not walking in that, I need to repent. I need to get on my knees and see what God would do. Do you? He has given us all his rich and wonderful promises so that we can share in his divine nature. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit-filled person, the Holy Spirit-filled church, is a church of passion. It is a church of passion. They are a person who are telling the world about the best thing that has ever happened to them. They are a person who is willing to put aside their cultural style and whatever, and take the message to the lost where they are. What's happened to you? Go and tell. What you know about Jesus? Go and tell. Live it out. Fourthly, the Spirit-filled person, the Spirit-filled church, is a church of peace, is a person of peace. So far as it is possible for them to live at peace with everyone. They forgive before even they're asked to forgive. They seek the common good among believers. They are unified in their church and with others of the true body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. This is your church. I'm your temple. Incredible. We want to be a Spirit-filled church, don't we? We want to be a Spirit-filled individual, because it begins with us, begins with you, begins with me. Today, God is challenging us to investigate our life. Are the marks of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on our life? Are we the Holy Spirit people that is needed to make our church really a church that is going to increasingly bring honour and glory to his name? The passionate burning fire of God is waiting to refine you and me, and I invite you today, come to the mountain of God. Come and have your rubbish burned away. Come and have the life God intends for you. I can be taken out of my comfort zone to live a life of faith. I can know victory. I can know release. I can have my footsteps ordered according to his word and according to his will. Are you willing, brother, sister, boys, girls, and you are my brothers and sisters as well, are you willing for him to light the fire? Come to the mountain of God and know his power at work within you. To be holy as he is holy. To burn with passion for the sinner. And to be a peacemaker. Quickly forgiving and loving. What a difference. Are we willing? God is. Let's just bow before the Lord. Let's just humble ourselves before the Lord. Friends, this is God wooing us. It was awesome. God can't look upon sin, and we should tremble and fear in his presence, but there's also the wooing of the Lord even here this morning. He's so desirous after you. He loves you. He is for you. He is so patient. I come short. I'm sure you do. Don't let this be a time when we spurn God's Holy Spirit. Be willing to die to self, those things of the world that have entrapped us. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. You need to be for Jesus. You need to be having a heart treasure for him, in heaven. What needs to be swept away. And are you looking for power? Are you looking for God's energy? God's glory? If you're emptied of self, he'll fill you. He'll fill me. We'll never be the same again. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Holy, available for you. Just remain. If you want to just fall on your lift, just let's
remain in the presence of God, and we will sing perhaps some songs, and may the message speak to us, or if you just want prayer, or just want God's mercy, God's grace, God's power. But I know that, you know, they that seek me will find me. He's already drawing at you and me this morning. He's so loving, he's so gracious, he's so forgiving, so long-suffering. We need to be willing to say, light the fire again. Come, renew me. We want revival. Here now, friends, let me tell you, as you remain in prayer, you don't have to go to Pensacola. You don't have to go to Florida. You don't have to go to London. You don't have to go to Scotland. You don't have to go to Wales. Just right now, God's presence, his revival power, his fire can come.